Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what was a victory, no doubt about that. It will go in down in the history books as a victory, but wow, that was pretty freaking crazy, no matter how you slice it. You know, we were just talking off air here, and we should have known. Hendricks gets hurt in pregame warmups, and then a ricochet touchdown. We should have just known. We probably should have known the last month of Viking football, where we just can't get out of our way to play a clean game. Is a clean game even possible against who we're going against next? But anyway, a win is a win is a win. You know that old good, bad, and ugly. We had the great good, bad, and ugly in this one. But they got it done, 27-24. The Vikings moved to 6-6. And, you know, this won't be an over-the-top negative show per se, because we did win. And I do think we got to kind of stand back and look where we were in to be 6-6. I got to really applaud the coaching job. I got to applaud some of the improvement, even though there's holes and we already know them. I guess the fact that we already know that this is such a flawed team in some ways, I'm still really happy, because we're actually going to kind of break down, you know, our guess, our predictions for the last four games. Not like we're going to predict every game and the score and all that. But we did that at the bye. We were 1-5 and 10 games left. And, you know, it's mighty good crow that we're going to have to eat. And I love eating this crow. I mean, I remember saying I feel confident about 3 wins, but the most I could do was 4. So you're looking at 4-6. It was just hard. Even 5-5, right? It doesn't seem like the craziest thing now. But at that time, when you're 1-5, you see 2 1-loss games, and you're like, it's really hard to pick this. So it's a nice crow. It's cooked, you know, perfectly, but we're going to have to eat a little crow off our predictions. But hey, like I said, I'm happy for it. So we're going to break down this crazy, crazy game where the offense started out really slow. They were giving up, you know, a ton of pressure, ton of hits, ton of sacks. Couldn't get the rushing game going, but slowly but surely they turned it around. And the defense, you know, there's not a lot of complaints from the defense, really. You know, especially without Kendricks now, too. You know, we'll go over some of that injury report. Usually we do the show on Tuesday. So we do have an extra day to see if Kendricks is going to be back. It sounds like he didn't even practice today. So who knows? But anyway, we are going to discuss this victory. We are now a playoff team momentarily for this week. And let's soak in that just for the hell of it, because we know it probably won't be here. Who knows? Clearly, the Cardinals have an easier schedule than us down the stretch. And, of course, we're going to predict a big game coming up that if we somehow – what one game we put it all together this year against Green Bay. Otherwise, we really haven't put it all together ever besides that game. So this would be a huge game beating Tampa Bay right now, who, you know, is a slot above us. But we're gonna break that down. Like I said, we're going to kind of give our guests – on the last four games, will it be 2-2, 3-1, 1-3, 0-4, 4-0, whatever the case may be. If this is your first time listening to this here Vikings podcast, welcome. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives, but you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and download the show right there or listen to it in the browser. You can find this platform on Apple Podcasts, on iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost anywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And just like we talked about last week, we started a new Stitcher page that you can hit that follow, and that'll update you year-round when we do Vikings stuff, when we're in the middle of the Gophers and Timberwolves stuff, or draft stuff, or whatever, the summer shows where we do the classics. You could find that at Living in Loserville on Stitcher. Just hit that follow, and that'll be something that we can update all year instead of the normal stuff that we've been doing. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. We have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. The cloud DVR, of course. Plans start as low as $55 a month. If you sign up right now, you get a free month, 30-day free trial of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll already include HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. All right, AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. And like I said, right off the bat, dude, like, we should have known something when Kendricks is just doing a run-of-the-mill warm-up and gets hurt, can't play, and then a ricochet touchdown to start the game.
Yeah, that was I started laughing at that point, and not laughing at Kendricks, of course, but you know, that's something you do before every game, is like the karaoke, or I think that's how you say it, but you do that little thing, and I guess he popped something in his calf. And glad you brought up the new avenue to listen to us, but that's on Spreaker, Chris, not on Stitcher, so definitely follow us on Spreaker.com. And like you said, you know, you look at the way they played that play where Ricochet, lucky bounce into the end zone. You know, I'd like to see them do that again. I just don't think you could do it. I think that's a one-off there. And you know, again, Chris Boyd, yeah, shows up in a way that, you know, we're not so happy about seeing him in that way. Him in special teams, him on defense. He'll make a good play, two bad plays, good play with a penalty. He'll jump on something. So he's been a bit inconsistent, and that was just no way to start that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that first half was pretty much a mess. And I'm glad that you, you know, we got Spricker, Stitcher, Litcher. We got so many damn outlets. I'm glad that you cleared that up for me, though. Spricker, definitely. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was like, oh boy, here we freaking go again. And just coming into this, we talked about how this was a trap game. We talked about how, well, they haven't won in so long. And anyone can win in the NFL any given Sunday. That's just, you know, it's a saying for a reason. And you're just thinking, it's funny because down the stretch, the Jets fans and the Jaguar fans are like, who's going to blow it? And, of course, they ended up blowing it both. The Jets defensive coordinator got fired after that game. All-out blitz at the end of the – well, that's a whole different story. So, yeah, the touchdown, I think it was like a 28-yard touchdown they gave up off of that freaking ricochet. And really, when you look at it, you know, we had two three and outs and 1 5-play, 5 yards. They ended up getting a, you know, a field goal drive as well to make it 9-0. There was a 34-yard pass to Johnson. First and goal, though, they were first and goal, and they did force a punt. So that was kind of nice. But on that toss, you saw Boyd, and we're not trying to pick on anybody, but he jumped too early. He actually was in position, but he jumped too early. And you know, just based off of a couple of those first drives, Cousins overthrew Thielen, Cook dropped a first down. It wasn't starting good in that first maybe 5-6 times both sides touched the ball, especially us.
Yeah, they just came out of the gate. They just, you know, it was a little lethargic, I guess. Maybe you're at home for 3 weeks, you start to get a little bit comfortable, and kind of hard to get up for the game, but I mean, that's their job. And, you know, they come out, like you said, and just kind of lay an egg offensively. I thought defensively, besides the ricochet, like you said, you know, they held together pretty well for under what they're under. I mean, the surprise, what, an hour before the game, you know, you don't have your leader on defense. That can't help, but it seemed like it took about a quarter for that to kind of work its way through and, you know, get themselves together finally and start to play a little good ball defensively. But like you said, you go on and a bunch of false starts and things like that, incomplete passes and punts. You really just didn't like the way Cita came out, but they finally kind of got it together. A nice drive with Cook, and mostly of Cook and Thielen, a couple good runs by Cook, a couple good runs by Thielen, and then a nice touchdown catch from Thielen, finally get on the board there. And, you know, now it's 9-6, and you go, okay, starting to see the engine kind of get going, and the gears start to kick in. So, yeah, You had to sit through that first quarter. It was a tough one.
Yeah, and just looking at that first quarter, because they did add another 11-play drive on that for 49 yards, 6 minutes too. But Dantzler in the red zone came up with the pick, and I think that was the first pick from a cornerback, or at least maybe only the second. But after the first quarter, dude, they had 50 rushing yards, a 112 for passing, 10-minute to four, or almost 5-minute time of possession. First downs to two. We had 12 yards rushing, 7 yards passing. So needless to say, like you said, it took quite a while to get going. And they were just grinding us methodically, mixing up the pass, mixing up the throw. But you're right. I mean, Cook had a couple of really hard runs on that. Cousins had a scramble. And you're like, okay, dude, we're used to this kind of weird stuff going on in games. It's only 9-6, so it's not the end of the world. And it kind of was just like punt, punt after that. There wasn't a whole lot left of that. Let's see, looking at it. Yeah, three punts, and then we had two plays with 18 seconds left. And that was a mess, too. We gave up a sack, had a penalty. The O-line struggled majorly pretty much the whole time, but especially the first three quarters and especially that first half. Like you said, D-line wasn't getting enough pressure, and O-line was just struggling majorly. So, you know, you're like, okay, that could have been worse, no doubt. It's only 9-6, but – and we have a knack now the last, like, month, Aaron, to starting out these second halves – just crazy. Like, you just can't make some of this stuff up. I mean, the way we opened up the first half and the second half, look at how that happened. A ricochet, like you said, that won't happen again, more than likely to our team. And then a pick six on a clear miscommunication. Maybe Cousins should have just tucked it because he was trying to get rid of it earlier. And next thing you know, it's 16-6. And you're like, oh, here we go again. Because, of course, we know last week we gave up back-to-back touchdowns, just handing it to the squad that we were favored, 9 or 10 points?
Yeah, no, it's bad, but, you know, it wouldn't have looked so bad if it hadn't been the first goddamn play out of the locker room. That's 2 weeks in a row, same way. Now, you can just, you know, you can just discuss whether it was Cook's fault or Cousins' fault, but nonetheless, it got picked off. Now, I tend to think that it was a little bit of Cook's fault, but then again, you don't throw the ball. It's one of those things, bang, bang. So you can't really put blame anywhere. And I don't think that's the most important part. The most important part is the ball got picked off and we ended up in the same spot. Now I'm thinking, do we get the ball back and turn it over again? I mean, where does this go? You're down 16-6. Things are looking pretty familiar and not in a good way, but they come out, you know, Thielen, Jefferson, Cousins, great drive right down the field, make it 16-13. Defense comes out, forces a punt, Mata, and I think it was Odenigbo got a sack, forced a punt, and now we're starting to see things change a little bit. Defense is coming together, gelling a little bit. I think they got shell-shocked, but I think they found their footing, and we're off and running.
Yeah, and I think it was Harrison that split up that one, but and Ham, you got to give some credit to Ham, baby. This dude, man, he's I just like that he's on the squad, dude. Ham got that touchdown, too. And Cookie, by the way, a couple blocks in this game. It wasn't just the runs. We'll talk about the runs later, but a couple of blocks, and that was a key block because of all the blitzes and all that, where Cousins was able to get the ball out to Ham for that touchdown. But like you said, they got their bearing. Then they went on an 8-play drive, 90 yards, almost 4 minute, 19-16. Cook had a nice little cutback run on first down. Thielen had a catch on a 3rd and 9. There was a scramble. I mean, we were just getting the ball out right before the hit. Like we said, 22 blitzes overall that they sent at us. They hit the quarterback 14 times, and that is a lot of times. I think they said that was as high as he's ever been hit. But you're like, okay, dude, we did it, 19-16. But then the extra missed point.
No, I texted you early in the week about this. This was Bailey had been doing so well, making all the extra points. He's made the majority of his kicks. And he started to get comfortable with a kicker in Minnesota. And again, we
how got dare us.
Yeah, we got put in our place again. And now we know we got to sweat out every kick that comes out on the field. And it wasn't just one, Chris, but, you know, we'll get into it later. What happened on another one? And I don't blame him for missing a 52-yarder, although you'd like to see him make it. But the extra points have just got to be there. And, well, they weren't. And, you know, so defense, like you said, comes out. And they get a fumble recovery. It's Dantzler again. And like you said, we brought him up last week and said he needed to make some plays on the ball. And sure enough, that's what he did. It was nice to see. I felt like maybe I conjured that up a little bit, but I definitely had. I know I had zero to do with it, but it was nice to see him come up because now we're starting to feel a little bit more secure in the secondary. Still got a ways to go. You know, let's pump the brakes here. But to have two components with Gladney, oh, that's funny. The next defensive possession, Gladney's out. Something with an ankle. So now we're back to square one in the secondary, and we just keep losing bodies in this defense, Chris. And at some point, we're going to run out. I mean, we've already hit everybody's practice squad. We've hit the waiver wires. I brought in some guy today we didn't even know.
XFL, CFL. We got is European, Europe, NFL Europe still on? We need a couple players. Yeah, it's getting crazy. The tight end we brought in was Irv's buddy from Alabama. You know, like, hey, bud, come on in. We need something because now Rudolph has a little back issue. Hopefully that's just he's a vet. He knows how to play. He'll be fine. They're just resting him. But, you know, we get that fumble. It's funny because Harris almost had a fumble, but it got reversed. Like you said, we get the fumble, and then we're right there at the goal line, like at the 1 or 2 yard line. And this kind of plays into, like, I can't really blame – this kind of plays into that defensive line getting pressure because Cook had to make a juke before he even received the ball. He was already thinking, oh, my God, I got to do this. And so he was already kind of – he dropped his level and kind of shut his arm a little quick. And Cousins is trying to get the ball into him. And it, honestly, like, I can't really blame both because most of it is, you know, you could see Cook make a move before he even got the ball. And that was just to be able to try to get the ball to because you're going to get hit right away. But either way, kind of like we just talked about, you know, about the miscommunication thing, we're at the one, and that's literally six points. I'm not going to say 7 points.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, you know, you want to see things be – I mean, what is this, Chris? Week 13 going on week 14 now? Not a lot of changes on that offense. You'd like to see the miscommunications and the things like that happen. Now, obviously you've got havoc on the offensive line, which makes everything sort of, you know, touch and go, but you'd like to be able to know some things that you can count on week 13 ish. Now, you know, like I mentioned before, Gladney went out safety. We got a safety in the end zone after a turnover. So I guess it was a consolation prize, but it helped a lot for momentum. And instead of giving up a safety twice this season, you know, we finally got one. And like you said, the pressure's starting to build a little bit on the defensive line with, you got to hand it to Zimmer. He's put this thing together with duct tape and continues to do so. I don't want to hear people out there complaining about how bad this defense is because you take Zimmer out of that equation. And you're looking at a whole at a epically, historically bad Vikings defense, the likes of which we have never seen, nor do we want to. So enough of these people out there yelling at Zimmer. I think he's doing a great job defensively, and you know, it's not a job that I would want to have. And you know, then the game kind of got boring. It was 4th and 5. The punt, the offense punts.
We did have that between the legs, though. That was kind of boring. That wasn't that boring. With a low snap, though. There's another mistake, actually, a low snap.
Whoa, yeah.
What do you think about that 4th and 5? Some people were like, we need to go for that instead of punt.
At that point in the game, I like the decision at 4th and 5. What did you have that was really going at the moment? I mean, exactly. Could you have hit Jefferson for five? Yeah, but he could have dropped it. There could have been a lot of different, you know, and the way you were sitting, what, 21-16? At that point, you think the game's winding down to nothing. So, you know, you want to, I think, trust your defense. I mean, you got to trust them. I know it's tough because, you know, you just don't have a lot. And it's a miracle, man. But I think that he made the right call, go fourth and five and do that, you know, and punt the ball. You have to punt the ball there, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And after that, both the Jags and the Vikes go three and out. We give up a fumble. Osborne fumbled a punt return. He put it on the ground. But then Dantzler, strip, fumble, and the recovery, which leads to a field goal. And we had a deep ball incompletion on a third and seven. The pressure got to Cousins. Otherwise, we maybe only got that ball out a little bit, you know, cleaner. But 24-16, 3:50 left. And you're right. I'm glad that you said that about the defense. We know it's bad. We know that. We already know that. We knew that going into the season. We knew it would take a step back even with the two guys on the offensive line because of, you know, what we had in the secondary. But I agree. Now, we can say that's some of the main reasons why we're losing games sometimes. Sure. But, you know, that it is what it is. So you do have to look in and give credit where credit is due. But here we are, you know, 24-16 up by, you know, a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, 3:50 left. But as we know, the games are never done until they're done with the Vikings this year.
All right. I think we caught up on this recap on my end. So everybody knew it was going to happen, right? Just how long would it take, and you know how much time could we force them to use going down the field? But they relatively quickly they got down the field, got 22 yards on a 3rd and 8, and that's those first down things that we keep giving up in tough spots. It keeps reappearing. I think there's a lot going into it. But, you know, it's got to stop. Gave up another 21-yard pass and then a touchdown to Robinson, a kid I never heard of. And then you think, okay, just hold him. You know, you gave it up, but we can stop the 2-point conversion. You know, we're good in the red zone, blah, blah, blah. And that's where the other side of Dantzler comes out, where he kind of misses, you know, a switch off, and they go ahead and get the 2-point conversion. We got ourselves a tied ball game. Little bit of time on the clock to drive. We do that, get into what we think is field goal range. Now, it was a long field goal, but, you know, I'd say, what do you say, Chris, 85%, maybe 75% of kickers, you're confident in them making that kick. But like I said, this is Minnesota Vikings, not so much Dan Bailey, but the Minnesota Vikings.
And he missed two, you know, extra points, so his mind can't be too sharp at that point, you know.
Right. So I was thinking we got a 35% chance of making this kick. Just the way the game went, the season went, Bailey's going on the day. I thought, okay, so we're sure going into overtime. But you hold out hope that he makes that kick. Sure enough, he doesn't. And the clock expires, and we go into overtime.
So before we go into overtime, 3rd and 1 deep ball to Thielen. What's your thoughts on that? We've had a couple. You know, the first 6 games, we had some ones where we feel like, maybe half of those, if we didn't do that, it'd be better. 3rd and 1, deep ball. I mean, the safety did come over late, so it's not like it was a horribly dangerous ball or whatever, but it's 3rd and 1.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but I just wish it would have been to Jefferson. I think it's a higher percentage pass thrown to him in those situations. He's proven that he's got a knack for getting open on deep balls. Little ways of doing it, crafty sort of vet thing. Not that Thielen doesn't, but I think as for that option at that point in time, if you're going to do that, and I think maybe that's your question, should you do it or shouldn't you do it? Yeah, you take a shot. You can't win if you don't play. That's the way I look at it. So,
well, you can play and get a first down though too on a 3rd and 1, but I hear what you're saying. The catch radius though, you're making a great point.
Yeah, and just craftiness and ability to go down. I would have liked to see that to Jefferson. You know, it was close to being a play, great play by the defensive back that wouldn't let Adam just bring his arms in. Had he done that, it would have been a reception. So I don't have any problem with the call. But I wished it would have been to Jefferson instead of Thielen in that situation.
And then, I mean, just a mess of a drive in overtime. Now, Harrison got the pick that, you know, eventually led to it, but
why?
What's that?
Why? I'm just rhetorically asking why. Why does it always have to be, like you said, a mess of a drive in tough situations?
And I'm looking at it, dude. You know, our ball, 24-yard line, first and 10, we'd give up a sack. Second and 19, incomplete pass. Third and 19, deep ball, 47 yards. Oh, forget it. It's pass interference. And then, of course, on third and 26, there's not a whole lot there to do. We dumped it off to Cook and whatnot. So I'm not mad at third and 26 and not picking that up. But what are your thoughts here on this pro? I know he's a rookie, so you're going to get the calls or whatever. But in this pro offensive league, really? God, 47-yard pickup on the flipping the whole field. We could have maybe went down there and scored the next play.
I mean, you said it. There's not much more to say than that. And I like how you put in the caveat about him being a rookie and maybe they're trying to make him earn his stripes a little bit. But we saw two replays. One angle looked like he didn't touch the guy. The other angle looked like kind of brushed him a little bit, but it also might have been a flop on the defensive back. Right. Nonetheless, he gets an OPI call in a pivotal point of the game. And like you said, there's no telling what happens if that's a completed pass. Momentum's going your way and all that stuff. But again, like I said, living in Loserville, we're going to get cool, really fun calls from referees that we just have to swallow, and we've been swallowing them for years, and there's just not a lot of, you know, it's just not very surprising at this point in time that you'll see a flag go on a play like that. And at least it wasn't, you know, an offensive face mask or something odd like that. Right. Although it was a phantom push off, which might have been just a great
slow
play.
Motion. It makes it look so dramatic when you see it in slow motion. You're like, oh, I fell. Like, yeah, you're right. He faked it.
Or it was a really savvy play by the defensive back, you know, knowing his speed, and you got a little gamesmanship there. But nonetheless, man, I mean, at some point you make a great play and you just start looking for flags.
Yeah. I mean, that four, I mean, on a third and whatever it was, 18, that would have been such a big play. But speaking of big play, our guy Harrison, who secondary wise in the safety, he's right up there with picks since he's been in the league. He makes a pick, and this is where we start to grind. 11 play, give it to Cook, and he had two third down runs. Now, of course, we had a false start third goal at the one. We're like bringing the kick. Well, actually, let's not bring in the kick. Should we bring in the kick? No, let's not. But that third and six run should have been, you know, definitely a loss of yardage, and Cook just did his thing down the stretch, dude.
He does, man. And like we've talked about this since we started this podcast for the last three seasons about this guy and how he runs the football in a unique way that we really just – I haven't seen another back run that way. It's almost like he's floating or like he's you know, his feet move, but his body's kind of – they're kind of separated, and they it's just an amazing way. And like you said, he's done that a few times where he's changed a certain loss into a big gain, and he did it at the right place and at the right time. Now, he touched the ball 39 times in this game. I've got a problem with that. Just thinking if you're going to think about the future with Dalvin and his, knock on wood, his injury bug, that, you know – 40 times a game is not something you want to see that often. But again, the situation we're in this season, particularly with the game coming up, the way we want to eat the clock, it's hard not to give him the rock. But man, every time it happens, you get over that 25 carries. And I know Madison was out, but you got Boone, who's shown he's capable of running the ball. I'd like to see him take a few carries off his plate. But like I said, in the situation we're at with the way our defense is, I understand giving him the ball 40 times, but it does make you raise an eyebrow.
Yeah, 32 carries, buck 20, the 3.8 really had a lot to do with the first chunk of the game, the first three quarters or whatever, because after that he was on fire, six receptions too, almost a buck 80 all purpose. But, you know, it was kind of funny, though. Should be the kicker? No, let's not do the okay, let's kick. So they ended up getting the job done. And they got back to 500. 6-6. They moved over Arizona because of the NFC or the liked opponents' victories. And I looked at Carolina, or not Carolina, sorry, the Cardinals, and I, you know, they have the Rams, but three other winnable games where we have the Saints number one right now in Tampa, who's pretty damn good. So it's gonna be tough sailing here. But you know, heading into this matchup, and I think we'll close the thing on the knock on wood and on the guess in the last four, just in general, much like we did during the bye week. We you know, we kind of gave our, you know, our guess for our record. And so in the end, this was an ugly win. We've lost ugly as well. We could be 7-5. It is what it is. But in the end, I am happy where we're at, because we did want to see some things. And I think defensively, and my co-host just brought up a lot of good points on how you really got to look at this season defensively. And then also offensively, we are now a better offense than we were prior. And we're a better offense, you know, under Zimmer. This is our best offense. So it's not going to all of a sudden fall apart next year. Well, unless, well, that's a knock on wood. Anyway, here we are. Tampa Bay, obviously Tom Brady making a bunch of news. You know, he's had some games where he's thrown some picks where you're like, really? Wow, that's kind of strange. Even during the press conference today, asking Zimmer questions, they were talking about how, you know, the coach there, he's got the vertical routes. He wants to push it deep. They've had some troubles there. They've thrown some picks there. And the media locally wants to know why they're not switching it. Why don't you switch up the system if you got Brady? But, you know, it is what it is. But so he's had some rough games, but overall they're very talented on both sides of the ball. And I think heading into this matchup, they're a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is 51.5. You know, we've played some solid defense. We talked, they're third in blitzing this year. They're going to blitz, no doubt about it. Just looking at the tape, you know, the quarterback gets hit 14 times. You don't win. Luckily, we were going against the Jaguars there. And they also can stuff the run. I think they're second in the league in run. 74, giving up only 74, which is a very, very good. Now, they don't run the ball that well. They're not even averaging 100. We're up almost 146. We can both pass the ball. They obviously, you know, go for the pass more. You know, we've played some tough defenses this year, and, you know, it's been rough. Their defensive line, their edges, it's pretty nasty. They're good on the back end. They're not the best defense, but they are pretty damn good. And then the difference, though, Aaron, is they have what looks to be a pretty one of the best offenses in the league. So this whole, well, they got a really good defense. Well, we've got lucky with Jaguars and the Bears and some other of these teams that didn't have that powerful offense. But they got it both. And to put it together, the only, like I said earlier, the only time we've put it all together was the second Green Bay game. And we really have to put it all together to get this dub here.
It's a tall ask. And, you know, you made a lot of great points about this. And you don't want to be, you know, pessimistic going into a ball game like this, because you don't know what could happen. But we're going to face a real defense, Chris, and they're good on all levels, and on some levels they're great. We haven't seen that all season. We've struggled with three bad teams in a row here, managed to get two victories. So, and I think even before that, there's some bad teams that we beat. I mean, I think all of our six wins, with the exception of Green Bay, are not the greatest, you know, opponents that we beat. And now we're going to face a good opponent. Do they have weaknesses? Of course they do. I don't think their corners are great corners, but their defensive line can help make up for that. And, you know, go to the offensive side of the ball for them. They got a Hall of Fame quarterback who's tore us up, you know, previously for years. And he's got talent. You know, they've got a good running back, three great receivers. We've got rookie corners, everybody. We've got duct tape defense. We've got very little pass rush, although it's improving. And we don't know. We might not have an all-pro middle linebacker at this point. And, you know, the real icing on the cake is they got a running game, and that you're going to give up 8 yards on first down to these guys. It's going to be a long day. Who can cover Antonio Brown? And can Dantzler hang with Mike Evans? And it's a lot of stuff here. So maybe we pray for a rainy day. Maybe a hurricane comes through and we can just give the ball to Dalvin and let him run it and we'll eat the clock. I mean, that's what you can hope for, but it just doesn't look like it. But you know, on the optimistic side, you know, strange things can happen. You know, maybe Jefferson finds something out and can get a couple, three touchdowns out here. But it's going to be a rough one, man. And it's on the road. And, you know, I just don't see him winning this game. Spread, no spread, all that stuff, man. And I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I think we're going to get put in our place here. And speaking of eating crow, we're going to have to do that, I think, this week. And, you know, I think it's time to kind of look ourselves in the mirror. What kind of squad we got? Yeah, we got a nice little squad here, but I'm not saying the Bucs are great. They're not great, but they're good, you know, and they're solid, and they've got players in places where those players need to be. And I say 32-19, we lose. I think we might keep it fairly close for most of the first half, but, you know, once sure. The ball starts to roll downhill, I think it's just going to keep rolling.
Yeah, and they give up passing yards, but when you blitz so much, we saw last week, it's like, are we going to survive another game where we can be productive in the pass in that? And I disagree. They don't run the ball well. They only average 96. But you know what? I could say that, but they'll probably be able to run the ball on us, even though we're not a horrible run defense, but they probably will be able to. I'm with you. 30-16 is the score I wrote down a while back. I think it is we haven't gotten beat up really bad since Atlanta, and it does kind of feel like it's going to. The last four games, the amount of, you know, even in that Detroit game when we played really well, we still had two punts blocked. You know, it's tough to think that we're going to get this W. So I'm with you. I got 30-16. And now just kind of closing it out, we're going to do the knock on wood, which is just basically like let's hope type deal. Of course, everyone knows the knock on wood. We added the segment last week. It's kind of a fun little thing. And also, you know, at the bye, we did our just guesswork. And I remember saying I can see three, but the tops, and I'm talking the tippy top, is four. So that would be four out of six off the last 10. And at that point, Aaron, when you're 1-5 and you saw two heartbreaking wins, yeah, it's just tough to even say we can finish 500, even though we knew the schedule was going to thin out compared to the first six games. But we definitely have to eat crow, because I remember, like, even what you said, we got to figure out, you know, we got to know what we are. That is true, but both of us didn't think we'd be anywhere near 6-6.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you come out of the gate 1-5 and coming off some, you know, pretty high expectations, although we knew that our secondary was going to be a work in progress. But, you know, I guess I can put it on the change for three players. I mean, Cousins has improved his play within the system. And that's always good. Now the bottom could drop out on that at any time and probably will. And then they've inserted Ezra Cleveland. That's helped a lot with the running game. I know he's been out for a game, but kind of working his way back now from last week. And then Gladney's gotten better too. Now, we couldn't have foreseen Kendricks going out or anything like that, or even Gladney being injured at this point. But those three players, I think, had a big – and we couldn't necessarily foresee at that time the improvement of any of that. Our offensive line was horrible. Defensive line was horrible. Everything was horrible at that time. And I'll eat crow, but, you know, I want it medium rare at this point. And like you said, the coming games are going to be – two games are going to really show us, you know, where we are. And I think a lot of us aren't going to like what we see. And I think you're right. A 2-2 finish is probably what we're looking at, with the possibility of maybe a 1-3 finish, which nobody really wants.
And how many games did you think we were going to win? What was your prediction?
I have to think that it was either 6-10 or I think I said 6-10.
No, I'm talking about the last 10 games.
I think you said two,
didn't you?
I think I said two. I thought we beat Carolina and Jacksonville.
And I only said three, and I was stretching to find a fourth. I'm talking stretching. So I guess we got to put it in all perspective, too, not just base it off these last four games. So it's kind of interesting. But you're right. There is that casual fan base that only gets kind of going when the team gets going. And in their heads, they're thinking, oh, all right, dude, we're in the playoffs right now. We get it. But, yeah, I agree. Down the stretch, four games left. Tampa and New Orleans, who right now New Orleans and Green Bay have the best, you know, look at that number one shot. I think two for two. But then again, you know, when we look at 3-1 or 1-3, are we going to beat the Bears again? Are we going to be able to beat Detroit again? I think it's maybe a better chance to go 1-3 than it is 3-1.
And from where we were at 1-5 and all the different variables that have happened up until now and probably going into the future, I don't think that an 8-8 finish on this season is a terrible thing. Is it the greatest thing? Absolutely not. But if you can get out of this season 8-8, playoff or no playoff, I think you've done a pretty good job. One, developing players, which is going to come in handy. I know it's hard to wait, but it's going to come in handy. And you can go through this season with all that's happened, say the wheels didn't fall off. If you can get through it 8-8, I think that's a win. You go through it 9-7, that's a plus, man. But if you can get out of the season 500 at 8-8, I think that's a huge win for this franchise, considering.
Yeah, moving forward in the next year, I'd have to agree with you. In the questionable list, Irv Smith, now Kyle Rudolph, Cleveland. Bradbury's on it now. Riley Reiff's on it. We don't know if they're just giving them a day off or if they're kind of questionable or they're going light in practice. But so my knock on wood is Kendricks gets back into this this season here, that Kendricks can play this upcoming weekend. That's my knock on wood, sir.
That's a good one, and I certainly hope he does too, because he is the glue for that defense. I think my knock on wood has to be that the offensive line can get back to that place they were right that second week Cleveland came in and Cook was starting to put up yards. Knock on wood that Cleveland's healthy enough and that, you know, Kubiak can put something together that if you're going to run Delvin – or give him 39 touches, that at least he gets out of the game with, what, 220 all-purpose yards. You make it worth it. If you're going to use him, make it worth it.
It's a good way to put that, because you're right. It's not like he had 180 and probably a good 50 of them came late, very late in that game. We only had 37 rushes, I think, at half yards. So, that's interesting. And just in general, like, our line has shown some improvement, like you said, with Cleveland in there, enough to where that could lead to him playing there next year. And then we only have one guard position to try to bring in that competition, because I think the left guard, you know, I'd be happy if he wasn't the starter next year. We got a little bit of time. We won't waste much of it. Obviously, this is usually when our Minnesota Gopher football segment is. They've been taking a little break, a little COVID break. they're playing Nebraska. And, you know, we have a bunch of people out. It's not even necessarily about predicting this game. It could go either way. I mean, if we can actually hold on to the ball and run, that's something that we've been able to do, obviously, running this year. We give up a bunch of run, though, too, at 215. So, you know, I'm not really too worried about it. It is kind of funky, though, like the early signing days, like right around the corner, all this stuff is kind of discombobulated because of course, this season. But it'll be nice just to be able to watch a Gopher game, because we haven't even been able to do that the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're right. And like you said, this season is definitely going to go down and maybe some special category, but it'll be nice to see him. Now they got to go down to Lincoln, Chris, and Nebraska has improved, but it's so hard to get a gauge on what's going on with the Gophers, because you had a couple weeks off, all the COVID stuff. I hear there's an amazing amount of repercussions going on COVID related on that squad. And you lose Bateman. He decided he's done for the year and he's going to get ready for the draft. So there's a change, a big change in offensive plans. And you hope, like you said, that they can maybe run the ball and make it competitive. But I think it'll be slightly competitive, but it's going to be hard to come out. Nebraska's been playing the last couple of weeks and just to, you know, to get it ramped up again and then go down to Lincoln and play those guys, you're probably looking at a loss. But like I said, you get the ball going, you start to run the football, control the clock. There's no telling what can happen. But I got to say, looking like a loss, and can we just get this college football, this Big Ten college football season over, particularly the Gophers? Yes, it's fun to watch, but at some point you just kind of got to say, is it worth it?
Yeah, well, you know, it is on a TV perspective, as we've known, and that's basically what it all comes down to, that moolah. If you're out there and you didn't think college football, college basketball, college in general was not about sports, now you know a defined message there. Like, it is 100% about that. So that'll do it. A little bit shorter of an episode. Let's hope these Vikes can get this. I mean, it'd be the biggest victory besides Green Bay, but the timing wise would probably be the biggest victory, because that would, you know, catapult us even higher in the standings. It would help to beat another NFC team in a liked opponent for Arizona, who's lingering, who has like the Rams and then some teams. Well, the Giants are hot too lately, so maybe that'll be a tough one, but, enjoy this weekend. We'll definitely be back. You know that. And let's hope we can get that freaking Vikings victory. But on this side of it, we really don't think that's going to be the case. Peace out.
Peace.